Okay, it's been 8 minutes and I gave you five. Let's get going, you guys. I don't have my gavel.
What?
You don't mean to be the fifth?
Well, I don't know. I just can't tell you how happy I'm going to be to go home tonight and call my youngest, what I thought was brother, and tell him, you're over five, buddy. You're not in the family.
All right, I hereby call this meeting of the Houghton Community Council to order, and we're going to have roll call to have a new meeting started.
Brian Gothrop?
Here.
Bill Goggins? John Kepler?
Here.
Betsy Pringle?
Here.
Rick Whitney?
Here.
Ruth Wright?
All right, so we have completed the public hearing on the missing middle housing, both cottage and ADUs, and we are now going to deliberate our recommendations to the Planning Commission. And I think the way that I would propose is that we start with the cottage, and if there are any...
You mean the missing middle?
Well, the cottage carriage 2-3 unit, yeah, it's the missing metal, I guess, is what you get. The KZC 113 is the first section, the first presentation we had.
Dorian was first, and then Sean.
We had ADUs last, so I want to start with cottage carriage 2-3 unit homes. There's less controversy in that area, so I'd rather start with the least controversial part first. So what I'd like to do is take the areas that we have differences with what is being recommended and discuss those I'm hoping that we don't have that many disagreements in this section and we can work through this relatively quickly. So I would like to start with who has areas within this section that you have opposition, things that you don't agree with the recommendations from staff?
Things that I would like to put. Should we first of all talk about the prohibition in Houghton of the 2 and 3 bedrooms?
Yes, that's part of it.
The first thing that
that's fine.
Otherwise, why talk about the other things if we're not going to allow them? So.
Well, cottage, yeah.
Cottage is a little different.
Cottage is different. Yeah.
Yeah,
And I don't really think, frankly, that's why I mentioned cottage, because I don't see that as being particularly controversial, and I think probability of it actually happening in Houghton anyway is pretty remote.
I would love it to happen, but I don't have any problems with that. I thought 1,700 was a little big for a cottage, but I do want families to be able, so I'm okay with it.
Yeah. No, what was large? Cottage, 1,700 square feet.
That's what my house is. So.
That's pretty big.
Yeah.
It's pretty big.
Yeah. In today's world, it's pretty small. So, for Kirkland.
But that's because of maximizing square feet for builders and whatnot. So
I get it. Yeah. But the whole idea of this is to try to provide.
And you could get a family with 2 or 3 kids in a 17.
So you certainly can.
Which is good.
Yeah.
So I don't have any problem with the cottage.
However, and correct me if I'm wrong, I as it's stated here, since we don't have FAR in Houghton, the proposal as it's written for overall Kirkland would simply not be a square footage in Houghton. It would be FAR maximum for the property.
We don't have.
It'd be dictated by the setbacks primarily. And
I'm sorry. I didn't
mean lot coverage.
Yeah. I meant.
And lot coverage, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Right. So does anybody have a problem with the cottage element of this part of it? Does anybody disagree with that?
Well, which part?
Anything related to the cottage, you do, John?
A couple things.
Good, let's get into that.
So let me start first of all from a semantic standpoint. There are several places in the cottage code and in the accessory dwelling unit code where it talks about units, dwelling units, and they're using those interchangeably. So if we could look at our packet on page 5, it's with the yellow top on the top. The very part, it talks about development size, and under the proposed amendment, it says reduce minimum to 2 units. So the question is, since we're using units in, as just a unit, so is that a dwelling unit, or is that a duplex, 2 duplexes? That'd be 4 dwelling units? What's a unit? Right. So if you if we can combine those up and how those break, I think we should say what it is instead of units, and to make it more clear. So that's a clarification that I would like. And I'll, that's kind of repeating thing as we go through this and the accessory dwelling units as well in terms of the definitions. Also, I'm on page 6 towards the bottom, and it was discussed, Dorian, and you answered this question earlier, that really when we talk about the height, what we really want to do is discuss that it matches the base zoning. And so I think, again, that's another issue with all the missing middle stuff, whether it's cottage or dwelling units. It's specifically calling out what some zoning is, and I think when it matches the base zoning, it should just revert back to what the base zoning is. So if it ever changes, and there is a potential example of this a little later, if the base zoning ever changes, we don't have to change it in 2 places. The information's in 1 place, and we refer everything to it. And then the on page 7, the very last proposed amendment topic under limitations on single-family zones, it talks about maintaining the paddocks. And so I have a question for our council, and some background on this is important. There's a specific zone in the Bridle Trails area where they have a paddock requirement for horses. And there's some dimensional standards that essentially create what effectively is kind of a rectangular shape with a minimum dimension. I actually think that language needs to be cleaned up as well, because there's some if-thens that can be confusing.
Do you have suggested language, John?
On the paddock stuff, yes, but that's in a different portion of the code, so let's stay on the ADU part.
Okay.
So if
the, no, we're not an ADU, you mean
I'm
cottage.
Sorry, in the cottage.
Yeah.
If the purpose is to create housing and you're going to densify a piece of property with housing, I think that's going to make it very difficult to do that with the existing paddock restrictions in another part of the code because of the few properties that are left, because I've looked at them all, and how that size parameter is in the paddock. So I think this is going to make putting ADUs on those properties pretty difficult, I think, and I'm concerned about that. And so I think, you know, Mr. Totally mentioned we're looking at all these codes in independent silos, the tree code, the ADU code, the cottage code, and I think this is unfortunately one of those unintended consequences that the paddock dimensional requirements and paddock requirements in that bridle trail zone are really going to conflict with this and make it very, very complicated. So maybe we ought to just look at it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I wrote down on that guy.
We can respond to that too, just to help you decide. So a lot of these bridle trails lots, the big ones are 1 acre in size, and then the paddock requirement is for 10,000 square feet. And so the concept here for missing middle housing is basically, you know, if you can build a 3,000 square foot house on those lots or bigger, you can just simply divide that house up into, you know, 2 duplex units or 3 triplex units. Actually, it would probably be a duplex unit in this case, because you can get 2 times the underlying density. So, you know, we're not necessarily looking at, you know, massive houses covering or massive building footprints covering the entire lot. These are really, really big lots. So, you know, unless you're building like an absolutely gargantuan house, you should still be able to accommodate 10,000 square foot paddock area, which is only about, you know, a quarter of the size, less than a quarter of the size of an acre lot. So.
I think on its face, you're correct. When we get down to the goofy-shaped lots and the people have horsey barns and only a portion of the horsey barn can be a part of the paddock side, I would suggest we just look at it. Okay. I also had I'm on page 8 on the building orientation. I hope it's okay if I just go through it this
way. Yeah, although I want to make sure that we're not just talking, but if you have specific suggested language modifications, I'd like to get to that, John, rather than just say we got questions.
Yeah, I got to it on the height. I think we should refer to the base zoning.
Got it.
Got a question about the paddock, nothing specific. On I've got two issues on the building orientation. One was brought up earlier about orientated to the common open space.
Cottage.
Yeah, for the cottages. So is that for us? Do we always want it to open up to the interior and make a center courtyard? So that's the only way we're going to be able to do a cottage? We're never going to be able to have a cottage on a regular street because of...
Well, it says where feasible.
Yeah, I understand that, but where feasible usually means that's what you need to do.
Yeah, I think the concept is there won't be a big courtyard, right? One of the things that we're proposing is reducing the cottage, the minimum number of units that you can build as part of a cottage development to 2. So there wouldn't really be a lot of common open space. I mean, a classic cottage project would likely be, a classic 2-unit cottage project in Kirkland would probably be 2 cottage units facing the street, in which case we would just expect, the entryway to face the street. So this primarily applies... As Council Member Pringle pointed out, to larger cottage projects where there is a big courtyard, and we would expect some of those cottages to face the that common open space where feasible. But if you're just dealing with 2 cottages, probably not.
Yeah, and so if we have this as part of a requirement, then, and I know some of the code in the very back is very specific about stuff, but this chart's really simple to look at. Let me move to the next sentence then. I'm going to skip that because that doesn't say that in a specific language.
Be sure you're speaking into the mic there, John. Yeah.
I'm going to go down to, on the last one, variation in unit sizes, building and site design. The very last 2 words under that is talks about match the character of the surrounding neighborhood. And so this is something else I found in both these codes. It talks about match the character of the neighborhood, match the style of the neighborhood. So it's using sort of architectural terms that basically says it wanted to look like the house next door. And I don't really know that that's what it means. If that is what it means, somebody should say that is exactly what it means. Everybody likes a different color car. Everybody likes a different style house. And so I think using terms throughout this code that says match existing neighborhood, that sort of thing,
Can I interrupt here? Because both of the last 2, they're talking about retaining the existing provisions, and I think this hearing is about the changes that they're proposing. So neither of these would be
changing.
A change. I mean, this could be something you might want to bring back the whole thing, but I mean, unless you want to insert something new that hasn't been part of the public hearing, I don't think we should introduce something that hasn't been part of the public hearing. We haven't talked about changing either of those provisions.
Okay. So, yes, I do.
All right.
I'm going to jump then to page 14. In the bottom column under 2 and 3 unit home, it says maximum unit size. That really should have an S in parentheses. Because it could be 2 buildings. It could be 2 units. So it should say that.
Plural size? Is that what you're getting at?
No, maximum unit size could be the unit size for 1, 2, 3 units.
Well, and here we're in the issue again as a unit, a single dwelling unit, because that's how the building code defines it. A duplex is 2 dwelling units, very specifically in the building code. 2 dwelling units. And so there's some confusion there is.
That I agree with, that like is one duplex, is a duplex a unit?
It's two dwelling units.
No, it's two units.
It's two dwelling units, but
yeah.
it's one building.
It's one building. Two
so when you're saying.
But they're saying unit size. They're using unit
right, but
consistently.
When you go back to 1 to 9 units here.
Exactly.
Is that 1 to 9 buildings?
Exactly.
Or 1 to 9 dwelling units?
I'm getting a smile. Am I being too picky?
We can definitely revisit it. I mean, I think the underlying density and the density provisions of the code dictate the number of units you can get. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think both plural and singular is probably correct, right? It's like even the individual, even if one of the two duplex units is still dictated, is still affected by the underlying floor area ratio. And the same would hold true for two units too, but we can look at that, and I think it might take some mulling over in our office, but we can think about that.
Else, John.
Okay, so at the top of page 15 in the first column, it says 2 times the maximum number of detached dwelling units is allowed. So again, I don't know that works with this typology of housing, because is it two duplexes or is it two units? Which what are we doubling? The dwelling units or the buildings that we just discussed could be two units or one unit. I mean, what are we doubling?
Yeah,
I just think it needs to be clear.
Okay, yeah. I mean, the doubling is the number of units. So,
one building with two
dwelling units.
That's two units.
Yeah,
two occupied units.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're using units synonymously with housing units. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so one duplex is two units. Okay. Thank you.
And I'm confused on page 15, minimum lot size, exactly how the language is said in the code portion about the subdivision process. It reads, beyond density restrictions, there is no required minimum lot size for lots created through the subdivision process. And so this is specifically about the cottage unit housing. Does that read correctly?
I think that's intended to be across all three typologies.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm on page 16 of lot coverage. This is another instance where I think we should just tie it to the overall lot, because in separate conversations, we're talking about, do we change lot coverage? And then this won't match the overall city lot coverage. Unless specifically, this shouldn't match the overall lot coverage for the city. It should be its own thing. But my sense is this is intended to match the city lot coverage for zones. And separately, we're talking about, with the stormwater regulations, changing how the coverage works and that sort of thing. So this then would automatically become incorrect if that code in the future changes.
That's a good comment. We could just reference the existing lot coverage provisions.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have the exact same comment on the next line down under accessory structures. We're giving very specific heights and numeric values. And in a separate part of the code under accessory structures, which a detached with these units would fit under that part of accessory structures, they have their own calculations, and that's in section 115.08, miscellaneous code provisions. And so does it make sense just to use that for the accessory structure heights instead of specify it here?
Yeah, I think so. That's a good idea.
Tree retention is another one that I'm simply going to state that I think there are two independent silos.
I think that's a huge issue. That's
so,
definitely something that I think deserves some discussion. I'd like to know, Adam, what do you anticipate, how you're going to resolve the conflicts between these very different objectives?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I'm glad you gave us a chance to respond. So the concept is we want to keep, if you're building a duplex or a triplex, we want you to retain the same footprint that you would for a single family house, right? And we're also at the same time reducing parking requirements for a couple of reasons. One of them is that we want to mitigate stormwater impacts, and we also want to make sure that we're protecting trees, right? So I think overall, you know, the principle here, the underlying principle here, underlying these amendments is that we don't necessarily want more building and development on a site to accommodate a duplex or a triplex. We want the same, no more than you would if you're building a single family house. And so there shouldn't be more tree removal if you're building a duplex or a triplex or a cottage project than if you are building a single family house because of the reduced parking requirements and the limitations on building footprint. So we don't necessarily feel like there's an inherent tension between the tree code and the missing middle housing proposal.
Okay.
For that reason, yeah.
How about ADUs? Detached ADUs.
Same for ADUs, yeah. I mean, you know, it's a little bit different, right? Because we're looking at exempting some square footage if it's a detached ADU. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, the hope is that these are relatively small footprints. They're generally, you know, generally ADUs are being built in the interior of a lot. And, you know, a typical development scenario is that we preserve trees around the interior, around the exterior of a project site. Those are the easiest ones to preserve. The ones in the middle are harder to protect, right? And we've had this long discussion about landmark trees, right, and that changing in the code. But again, the fact of the matter is it's really hard to protect a really big landmark tree in the middle of a lot. And so we don't necessarily see a huge conflict between building detached ADUs and tree removal.
I think that's a fair point. I have a follow-up. What happens in the very specific location when somebody builds a brand new home, they then later decide I've got room for an ADU and I want to build an ADU 3 years after they build their new home, but they have a 5-year moratorium on cutting down any trees. So is that a hardship? Because mom's dying and she needs a place to stay. Can I cut the trees down, which is a different part of the code outside of this code? Where does the hardship fall?
Yeah, I might need to look to my colleagues who know more about the tree code to answer that question, but
flows downhill.
I mean, they're independent.
Jeremy's about to say something. Let Jeremy talk.
Well, it's not anything smart, but I mean, I haven't seen that come up where you have, after you complete, a developer completes building a house, you collect the 5-year tree maintenance agreement. That could be a conflict with any additional development in that 5-year period. It just hasn't come up, so I don't think we have had to deal with that before. I'm not sure if there's anything in the 5-year maintenance agreement that specifically addresses that.
Is there any sort of pathway that a homeowner could take to negotiate their way through that? Because that would be good enough for me. If there's, you know, because weird things happen. That's what I see walking to my office, all the goofball stuff. And if there's a path, then they have a solution. And if the answer from the city is that there's no path, well, that's at least an answer. And right now, I don't, you know, I think, Jeremy, your answer is there's no path.
I don't think there's a path unless there's something built into that tree maintenance agreement. And that's what I'm pulling up right now, and I'll keep looking at that while you talk.
Okay. And is it in such a blue moon thing that is it important?
I think you're getting to the point. It's such a fringe situation. I don't think we should try to.
Yeah, I understand.
Anticipate every single.
I know.
Crazy. Yeah. You know, sometimes you just gotta.
You could rent a place for mom.
You gotta legislate for.
Stay in the bedroom.
They could sell. Yeah.
What else you got, John?
I'm on page 16 again in the community building. I was confused. This is for cottages. Would this also be for duplexes on a cottage? Because it talks about community buildings.
Yes, I think again, applied across the board for all typologies, housing typologies.
Okay, so would we want to encourage a community building if you wanted to put duplexes on a...
Well, and that's just, that's, so it's clear, that's just leaving what's in place today. So, which I think we'd be open to certainly revisiting, but that's as the code stands today, and we haven't proposed thus far to change it in any way.
I mean, I think it just gives us a little more leverage, you know, staff, when there's a bigger project being built to encourage a community building.
Well, I got that, yeah. But I mean, the question is about duplexes because it's a catch-all. It catches everything.
I mean, I think, again, I think if it was a larger duplex project, right, I mean, you could have, this never happens, but if
there was a duplex, does it make sense?
Yeah, there's a 20-unit duplex project, say, it'd be nice to have a community building, and it could give us a little bit of leverage to ask for one.
Do we think that needs to be clarified? Because if the intent of all of this is to build missing middle, is to encourage the duplex, not 20 units of duplexes. It's to encourage the duplex and the triplex stuffed in a single family neighborhood. That's what this is encouraging. Mm-hmm. And so would we want to further encourage community building?
What's the requirement? How is this impairing the development of duplexes? It's encouraged. And what's the teeth in it anyway?
Well, encouraged is there's teeth in encouraged in a code.
And how?
I actually don't think that this is encouraging. I don't think this is meeting what it's intended to meet. It's not. There was 23 in a whole year that were applied for, that's not going to really increase density. That's not going to solve any housing issues.
And again, this isn't something that has been discussed in the public hearing. It was not a change.
Yeah.
So I...
Yeah, let's stick to the changes.
I don't want
to focus on the
change.
Well, so to that point, I don't... are we limited to only discussing the changes as part of this hearing?
I would like to see us do that, John. I would... Unless it's really, if you've got a proposed change that is just going to have such an impact that it's really going to make a big difference in your mind, let's talk about it. But if it's not really, really big, let's just stick on the things that are changing the code.
Moving on.
Yeah.
I'm on page 16 again on attached covered porches under 2 and 3 unit homes. Attached covered porches are encouraged to have the design features, and let me get back to number 12. So these are all the design features that we talked about. Pick
right.
Two of this and
correct.
Two of that.
Yeah.
I'm on page 17, item 4A, I think, at the end, needs an S in parentheses again, depending on what unit is, dwelling units. And I think we should just use that term instead of units. I think we should be specific about dwelling units. So it all ties together. So what is a unit? Did you find it? That's the same comment on the top of page 18 under units, item number 7, size per unit or units. I also would like to ask that in item number 7 on the top of page 18, you have a mathematic example. The mathematical example actually equals in the exact number. It talks about fractions, but the mathematical example equals in an exact number. And I would like to ask that you use a very difficult mathematical example that really shows
that's,
what you're talking
yeah,
about in the code.
It's more illustrative.
The point is to show that we don't round.
Right.
Right, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I think
what happens when you don't get the perfect number?
Because you don't. There's, I mean, you know, most of them you don't. Okay, if we're not going to talk about anything other than changes, I'm going to leave that one alone. And so we're back to number 11 on page 18, which is where Betsy Pringle started about standalone 2 and 3 unit homes. And so I circled that and said, I think we should discuss whether we want this change or not, because that's where you started, yeah. Betsy. And so that's where I'm at catching up with you.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, if we want to accept this, then I think we need to talk about if we're going to allow them in homes.
Let's just let everybody weigh in. Brian, 2, 3 unit homes, you good with duplexes, triplexes in Houghton? You've heard concerns.
You know, I have concerns with them in the single family home area. I'm fine with them where it's zoned already.
That's not the issue. The issue is single family.
No, not. I mean, I'm not, because I don't think. I'm actually really sympathetic to the issues of housing and meeting the need, but I don't think that will meet the need. You might have an additional, maybe 10 extra families, in the whole area. I don't think that will meet the need that they're talking about. I think it will meet a short-term builder's need, maybe, but I don't think it'll meet the need of the housing. I don't think it's of the magnitude that they're talking about. So I'm not really for that. For the specifically for changes, I feel pretty strongly about as I mentioned before, with the lot line limitations. I agree when it's against another parcel.
Let's stick on the 2, 3 units.
Okay.
Yeah, for now. I want to focus on that specific issue.
Okay.
I think we should allow it.
You do think we should?
I do.
Okay.
I do. I don't think we should separate ourselves on something as important as this. And I live across the street from 2 duplexes, and it's been fine. You know, I it's not the density that worries me so much. It's the design. It's what they look like. It's how they fit into the single-family neighborhood. A lot of people have talked about the parking issue, but then what they keep talking about is, well, we can't park on our street because of the transit people that are parking to catch. Well, I don't think we should be tailoring I don't think we should be curtailing what we could do to create affordable housing in Kirkland because the bus people are parking in our parking lot, on our streets. That's a whole different, that's a whole different thing, and I think if we can increase affordable housing on for it.
Okay.
Without putting in high rises.
Mm-hmm. Okay. John?
I have discussed in the past my feelings on the specialness of single-family neighborhoods, and once they're wrecked, and that's my input, my personal input on this. I think we've all gone through our thinking process and have different inputs. Mine is that I would like to preserve the single-family neighborhoods, and so my suggestion on this is that we don't allow duplexes and triplexes or 2 or 3 unit homes, dwelling unit homes, in low density neighborhoods, but they would be okay in the medium and high density. And so that's where I'm at. So specifically, if we can't make that change and it's one or the other, I would vote to not allow them.
So but what you're suggesting is try to increase the medium and high density in Houghton?
In the medium and high density, allow them, but not in the low density zone. That's what
if I we think. Have any medium in Houghton.
Yeah, we have
high,
some.
We
have some RM
them.
Zones.
Is that what you're
and
saying?
I mean, they just created a thing in on the Bridal Trails right across the interstate, west of the forwarding station.
Bellevue project, because there's a project over there in Bellevue.
No, it's literally if you go over the pedestrian bridge, it turned north and it's the second lot to the right, basically. The back of it is onto the old dump where the they have the ball fields and everything. But there, I walked by there Monday and there's. Has to be 8 or 10 houses on that lot, just going all the way back. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm for expanding denser areas, and I know that's a future conversation, and expanding where the zoning is denser. I'm for that, but I'm not for peppering single-family home neighborhoods. I'm with you, John, with, you know, multifamily homes. I agree with you that once you change it, that changes the whole character. You can't go back, so.
John, as a practical matter, being in the business, if you have property that's got that higher density zoning, does it pencil out more to have duplexes versus some other structure? Duplexes, triplexes?
Well, I think it's depending on what the market's wanting.
Well, and that's what I'm asking you. You're in there. You know the market.
And today, more of the market is on the for sale market. It is not common wall living homes.
Yeah.
It is more desirable.
Right.
That's why they're being built. However, common wall living homes, you can get a greater scale generally, which reduces the price. And that's what this is trying to do.
I understand that.
So, my suspicion is, especially because of the cost of property in our jurisdiction, we're probably not going to see much of this.
That's my question. Yeah.
So it might just be.
So you're not going to get it if you have the medium or high density as a limitation. If you don't, if you do allow it in a lower density, then you might pull it off, or it wouldn't matter anyway, you're saying.
I think the reality is it probably won't matter.
Won't matter.
However, that doesn't mean we should ignore what the code says.
Yeah.
And Adam and Sean are reviewing something. Did I misspeak on something or?
Well, I'm tracking through my track changes literally on the document, and my I think I finally found the reference I was looking for. But I just wanted to make sure that there's clarity that I think what we're talking about as far as duplex, triplex, and Houghton is those products as standalone units. Is that right?
In low density.
In low density zones, as standalone, yeah. Today they are not permitted as standalone. They can be built as part of a cottage development in a low density zone in Houghton.
So based on item number 11 being crossed off in Houghton's jurisdiction, I would vote no. I would retain that.
Right. And the other referent is that just go up to the strike through number one, and that's that goes back to it's footnote one, and it goes back to the first box of max unit size, I believe. Well, that's where I need. Where is different unit? Yeah.
So your turn, Rick.
Yeah, I'm. Well, first of all, you guys know how strongly I feel about the owner occupancy thing, anyway, and so there's no way in the world that I would approve the duplex triplexes without an owner occupancy requirement. Period. I have that same mindset on the duplex triplex as I do on the ADUs.
You can rent out homes.
Pardon? I'm just saying, yeah, it's just my experience being in the rental business as long as I have, and just seeing the difference in management, and there is a difference. And you heard it from several of the speakers today as well. The people who said they didn't think that we should have an owner occupancy requirement, for the most part, they don't have the real-world experience of managing properties, and they don't know that. And I'm not saying that it's a guarantee you're going to have a problem. Chances are you won't. But you have a much higher probability if you don't have owner occupancy, and you have a lot more problems in trying to control it. So that's, by nature, duplexes, triplexes tend to be on non-owner-occupied properties. So I'm probably, just as John said, I don't think the economics, at least in Houghton, are going to favor duplex, triplex construction anyway under any circumstances.
I think it might, though, up on the other side of the interstate and the Bridal Trails area that we have jurisdiction over.
Yeah.
I think a portion of the Bridal Trails. Right. I think there's areas there that it might work.
Yeah.
But I agree with John.
Well, should we consider? And of course, we can't separate out Bridal Trails from the rest of Houghton, can we? Yeah.
I
I mean, you probably could.
By zone.
Yeah, I mean, it's theoretically possible. It's probably not a great. We probably would not recommend it. Just for
wouldn't
ease
play
of,
well.
but I mean, you could. We could also, you know, change the zoning in those areas too.
It
doesn't have to be this. This issue. We could just say if it's zoned that way, then yeah, it's fine. But I think we're talking about. Can you do it within what's currently zoned a single family, which I disagree with,
right?
Versus can you do it in what's zoned for that, which I do agree with. I think that's great because when it's zoned, it's actually thought out.
You've put specific thought into the it's appropriate for that specific.
Yeah, there's groupings and clusters.
How's that going to change the difference between the home, the occupancy, ownership? Just because the zoning has changed.
Separate issue.
So I'm not sure why it's okay for one zone but not for our zone.
I'm not gonna support the non-owner occupancy anything on anything, frankly. That's just me. But we're all gonna vote on this, but that's where I've been really consistent on that personally. So can we? Can we consider any circumstances where the duplexes would be appropriate in a single family? Sounds like we've got no, other than Betsy, nobody supporting it. And the idea being, if you want to allow it, then change the zoning. Is that what I'm hearing, other than Betsy?
Yep. I think that's what you're hearing.
Okay. I would stick with that. And I really do like the idea of trying to improve the zoning, have the zoning facilitated.
Yeah, I'm fine with it as long as it's...
Yeah. Okay, so that's the 2-3, that's the duplex, triplex. The rest of the changes that John has proposed...
Yeah, I'm not finished.
You're not finished. Okay.
Maybe as a point of order.
Wait, there's more.
Okay, go, John, go.
I'm on page 19, 113.35, item 2B. It reads variation in unit size, building, and site design. I think that should be qualified or quantified because variation in size is pretty ambiguous. In the affordable housing group, it's a 10% number. So simply to say variation in unit size, building, and site design, I think is that 1 square foot? Is that 1 foot in height? Is that a grid in a window? What is it? And I'm reading that the intention is to vary the market rate price points to give options. That's because that's kind of what the intent of this is. I think that should be modified.
How would you do it, John?
I want to discuss that with everybody because.
Well, what
the
would
affordable
work?
Housing code, there's a 10% number, but that's drastic on a market rate project to say you have to vary something by 10%. That is massive, massive.
Mm-hmm.
And I
hate to get too prescriptive, though. I mean,
what if you
say
significant variation?
Well, that's even worse.
That's worse. Okay.
And so I guess the point is. I've made a case that I'm kind of reacting to just saying variation. Do you all have that same reaction? And if not, we'll just let staff and the applicants deal with it through the process.
Well, I don't know how you would change it. I mean, because if I don't want to be prescriptive and say you must have a different paint colors on the houses or you must have different roof styles on the houses. Variation, but like, well, I understand what you're saying. What is it?
And how this reads in English, is this all of them or is this pick three? Or pick one of three? Because there's a comma and an and. So the and is inclusive, the comma could be separative.
Well, they're using they're not using the Oxford comma. Okay. But I'm assuming that it says they want a variation, that all three of those, they want to see variations in size, building, and site, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you want to see three.
And you know what clever architects are going to do? They're going to push the envelope because that's what they're paid to do. And so how is this going to be judged? How would you all judge us? Am I bringing up a valid point or it's like, I think we can work through the process on that, John. It's not a big deal.
These are all valid points. I mean, just to be clear about that, I think it hasn't been a problem for us in the past. We've had, you know, very successful cottage projects here in the city. They're hard to come by because land values are so high, but, you know, generally speaking, it hasn't been a problem in the past.
I would think, John, that you've got a situation where both sides are really wanting to make it work, and so they're going to find a common ground that they can both. I don't know.
People are going to be spending a lot for these houses in Kirkland, these, and so they're going to want a quality thing. They're not going to want a cookie cutter cottage house where they all look exactly alike, same size and same color and same.
Okay. Well, then, so without discussion, on page 19, B1, it says proposals are encouraged to provide a variety of building styles, comma, feature, and site design. I've got the same issue there. So is one of them a Scandinavian farmhouse, and the other has to be a bungalow, and the other has to be a California beach house? I mean, what does that mean, a variety of building styles?
A yurt.
A yurt. Okay. So I'm on page 21, item 1 and 2.
John, did you have a suggestion on?
Thank you, Jeremy.
I don't mean to sound like Rick here, but
that's what I've been saying.
I mean, as an architect, I think what staff's trying to get is diversity. It's not cookie cutter. So if there's a better way to say that, then.
Well, diversity in designs is much better than variety of building styles, because building styles in architectural nomenclature is a stylized look, right? Mid-century, postmodern. That's a stylized look. That's a building style. And a diversity in style, or a diversity in looks, is a more general, that we don't want them to be plan one, unit one, building one, times 20, 5 feet apart. Although that could be a very stylized look of row houses. That's what the brownstones are. It's very similar. They're all the same. And it's a purposeful look that's neat. Mm-hmm. And so I think I would suggest that to what did I just say? Sorry.
You said not to use the word style. Because
design, building design.
But it does say that.
I think you're on B1 where it says building styles.
Yeah, variety of building styles. I'd like to strike and use a different term there. And
diversity of design features.
Diversity of design, diversity. Or design diversity, right. I think is better than this. Now, to the common person, it's probably going to be the same thing, but codes are not for common people. They're for geeks who read code and use code. I mean, that's what codes are for, right? It's like.
Is it for envelope pushers?
Page 21, item number 1 and 2. Item number 1 talks about garage doors and 4 garage doors per building. And then item number 2 talks about similar and compatible. So, actually, I'm sorry. I'm going to cross that off because that's not a change. Sorry. Shared parking. Although I would like to talk about item number 3. It's not a change. But it does get to your point, Rick, about the one duplex in Norway Hill that's got the large parking lot in front of it, and some conversations that we've had about duplexes and parking. This reads, shared detached garage structures and surface parking areas must be screened to the public streets. I think we should discuss this a little bit more with the specific example that we talked about before. That large parking lot is kind of screened. Would it meet this threshold and get passed?
I don't think it's screened at all. It's wide open.
Are you talking about?
It's 132nd. It's on 132nd in South Rose Hill, and it's that's what you see is a big parking area. It looks like a motel.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, in some of the landscape. Really, well, that's for commercial. Well,
there's like a triplex.
Well, how did that get through this?
How did that get through this?
And so, is it okay to have a parking lot like that if we put a row of emerald green pyramidals around it? Would it be okay? I don't know. Would it pass this? Does it?
I mean, just to clarify, you know, one of the intents is to, of the reduced parking requirements here, is to prevent that from happening in the future, or to reduce the chance that it'll happen in the future. So our hope and intent is that, you know, a triplex project in the future, assuming, you know, some of these amendments get adopted, would not have a big parking court like that. And so there'd be less of a need to screen it with vegetation. So,
what do you think, John?
I brought this up for discussion. If you guys, if you don't have any issues, I'll put an X through.
I'd say that it's not worth, I think Adam's got a good point, that if we can reduce the parking, then that does more to help the problem than addressing that.
Page 23. Item number two at the top reads, covered entry porches per RINs not permitted to extend into the required front yard within Houghton. I would like this to change the same way all the other codes change, that instead of having it say not in the jurisdiction of Houghton in the sentence of the specific code, but have it tied the way all the other codes do in Kirkland. Because none of the other codes say it, read this
bottom way. Of the section.
Yeah, they say it a very specific way down at the bottom, and then that way all of our codes are consistent. I'm down under garages and surface parking design. Betsy, if you'd read with me. The red part of the sentence is separated by a comma and reads, by at least a distance of 10 feet. I think that's not a good sentence, and I think by a distance of 10 feet should be its own separate sentence and discuss the separation instead of having separation included into the previous portion of the sentence.
Okay, let me read it. Surface parking should belong to groups of more than three stalls. Parking areas of more than two stalls must be separate from the street, perimeter park, and common areas to site and natural screening by at least 10 feet. I would take off the comma. Mm-hmm. I would take off the comma, and just because they're saying that all of these things are included in that by at least 10 feet thing, yeah. Right?
Separated by the preposition. All site plan.
Well, yeah, I almost think it's that, you know, I have a grandmother who has a piano with a wooden leg. Where's the comma? What has the wooden leg, grandma, or the piano?
Well, okay,
are the plants separated by 10 feet? What's separated by 10 feet?
Okay, the stalls must be separated from the street by 10 feet, through site planning. Or natural skin by at least a distance of 10 feet. So there has to be 10 feet between the two between the stalls, right?
Parking areas with more than two stalls. So like if there's two sets of two stalls, they have to be separated by 10 feet.
By 10 feet.
Yeah.
Did you guys figure out the wordsmithing?
Is it a separate sentence, or just take out the comment it reads appropriately?
Well, what do you mean? What would this separate sentence mean? What would you have it be a separate sentence? Because by at least a distance of 10 feet is not a sentence.
No, I would make a whole.
So you would, I suppose you could.
If it reads correctly, I will.
Yeah, it's just saying that if it's got more than these two things, they have to be separated by a distance of at least 10 feet through site planning, landscaping, or natural screening, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
That's what it says.
Do you want to just move the by at least a distance of 10 feet right in right after separated?
That would make it read much better.
Well, separated.
Just say, must be visually separated by at least a distance of 10 feet from the street, perimeter property lines, and common areas. Does that get you?
That does me.
Okay, good. Okay, let's just put it right there.
That works too, yeah.
Okay, good. Fine.
My next item is 11340, medium income housing. On page 24, we list 10-unit, 12-unit, 15-unit, what the number is, 96% of this and that. And I think this all ties to the King County housing medium income chart. I think we should just reference that. Because if King County, if they change their numbers to 92% instead of 96%, then our code's wrong. And the intent of our code is to match the King County Housing Authority percentages. I think we should just reference it.
I would agree with that.
I
think it's different.
I think it might be different, actually. I mean, I think these are crafted. I don't know. I'm not familiar with a King County housing chart that addresses.
If it is different than that, then this is correct.
Yeah, I think it is different. I don't think there's a King County housing chart that dictates, you know, affordability levels for projects of multiple sizes, right, in cities.
Yeah, I'm just familiar with the one when you have to provide the affordable housing.
Yeah.
That's the only one I work in.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely definitions of affordability, but this is different than that, I think, because these are talking about, you know, just slightly under the median income and not below 80%.
Right, very good.
Yeah.
So I'm on page 26, item number 3 at the bottom, talking about cottage housing, 2 and 3 unit housing, and subdivisions and short plats. And so I'm reading this, and maybe it's just because at the end of this section, but the way I read it, it just seems confusing to me. Obviously, if you say you want to do this kind of housing, it's not an approval of a short plat, so the first sentence is okay. But continuing on, I was confused on whether or not we are allowed to or we have to short plat a piece of property to get a duplex or a triplex, because that kind of conflicts with what said earlier about, or what we're going to say later about condominiumizing ADUs.
Yeah,
I was just
you can't subdivide. I think what we're saying here is that simply, you know, the issuing of a permit for a duplex or a triplex doesn't grant you any subdivision rights. Yeah.
Period. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's all I have.
At everything. Before we, you guys have anything else besides what John's come up with on the with the missing middle?
One.
Okay, what do you got, Ben?
I'm not sure I agree with allowing ADUs as part of carriage, cottage, and 2 or 3 bedroom home development. I think that really. I'm all for the cottage, carriage, and the others, but then allowing ADUs on top of those, that feels to me like that could really double or triple your density up even more than what you've already done. So,
well, for example, if you allowed triplexes, and then you could have an attached and detached ADU, you'd have 5 units in a single family, and that just goes
or
all the more
6
to
in a triplex. Yeah. And that kind of gets back to my comment about units versus dwelling units.
I get it. So you're saying.
So that's the one where I would like, I'm not sure I agree with allowing ADUs on those.
And the specific code language is on page 17. The specific code language.
There. So are you saying for any of these classifications, cottage, carriage, or 2-3 unit? 2-3 unit, we've already said we're not going to approve outside of, you know, zoning changes anyway, but you're saying you don't see it for the cottage or carriage?
No, I guess I feel like you've already created this planned development thing, this whole cottage thing. And then if somebody starts adding ADUs on it, I think then, I don't know. I think it needs more discussion. Nobody else brought that up, but maybe one person did. But that just seems.
Can I ask staff a question?
Yeah, let's do.
All right. So, if somebody did a cottage project, that's like a binding site plan. These are attached ADUs. Would somebody be allowed to take their 1,700 square foot cottage project, remodel it, add the 40% of the gross square footage, which is allowed under the ADU, and increase the base size of their primary residence an accessory dwelling unit buried into it that could be up to 40% of the overall, and increase the envelope size in the cottage project?
Yeah, so There's not a square. We're not proposing additional square footage or FAR allowance for a cottage ADU. So you simply have to fit the ADU within the 1,700 square feet or whatever it ends up being. So you don't get any extra square footage. So you could have a 1,000 square foot primary unit and a 700 square foot ADU. That's what it would result in. Okay, but you don't get more square feet.
It's adding maybe another household.
Exactly.
It's in the envelope.
Yeah. Not more square feet.
And it's not adding on.
It's so assuming the developer didn't max out the square footage in the first place.
Dwelling unit to the dwelling unit must have its own entrance, which might be a difficult part on a cottage.
Because
we'd have to meet all the other criteria, right? It'd have to have its own entrance. We couldn't change the coverage on cottage project or the base size of the units if they were maxed out. I honestly am not sure how that would work, but on its face from a bulk and scale, I'm not bothered from a traffic. Yeah.
Then maybe I'm okay with it.
But let's think about it in a single family neighborhood where you've got a triplex and then the triplex also has an attached and detached ADU. You could have five units in a single family lot, right? You've allowed five dwelling units on one lot.
Absolutely.
Am I missing anything, staff, on that?
It'd be a big lot because you'd be
essentially create five plexes.
And that lot likely could probably not be a corner lot. It could be a middle lot. And so the street that it has access to now, you have maybe five units with how many vehicles that are now spread all the way across. That's kind of what I was...
Yeah, I get it. And that's all the more reason not to be approving the two or three bedroom units in the single family, because then the potential for a five-plex in a single-family lot is...
Or six-plex.
Yeah.
If it's a three-plex and you do ADUs, that's six. Six dwelling units. You have the three primary dwelling units in a triplex, three accessory dwelling units. That's six living units.
Is John right on that?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it could be any...
It could be a six-plex.
Three units plus an ADU. It could be three units plus two ADUs. It could be three units plus three ADUs, all attached.
Yeah.
Again, within the same building footprint and square footage. Right, because we're all.
I get it. But you're essentially allowing six plexes in
single
family.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that just cements my concurrence on the two and three bedroom unit thing. Okay. Anything else, Betsy, on this? Can I? I want you guys to quickly, as far as the parking requirements, are we good with the modifications that are proposed? The half mile from transit. During commute, with 15-minute headways during commute hours, one space per unit, that's...
I think the half mile is kind of arbitrary, honestly. I mean, there's so many different ways to get to transit. I mean, I just think of my own neighborhood that is just north of Northwest University, right? I mean, if they're at the top of 60th, is getting to transit, is that going down all the way down the hill to the bus route, or is it going across a pedestrian bridge and getting to the park and ride there, which is maybe even closer. I just feel like the half mile.
They have some walking parameters. It's a distance. It's a congestion time frame.
I just feel like it's arbitrary, honestly. I mean,
well, it shouldn't. It's got to. Yeah, you got to have something. But I think didn't you suggest a quarter mile as a substitute on another section?
Yeah, so I think originally we started at a quarter mile, and then we expanded it to a half a mile, which is, like a 10-minute walk or so, right? So, I don't think it's necessarily arbitrary. You can go either way. You could do a quarter mile, you could do half. And again, it wasn't simply a function of now these people are closer to transit, so they can start using it and won't need as many cars. That was part of the thought process. The other part, again, was reduce cost because parking spaces cost a lot, aesthetic impacts of having lots of parking spaces, and then stormwater and tree impacts from having lots of parking spaces too. So it's just a combination of things, not just, access to transit and reduced reliance on motor vehicles. So
I get it. I just like to have a little more. I can see we were hearing from some people who were concerned about they're already having enough issues with traffic or parking in their neighborhoods, and so I don't know if...
Well, and that's, yeah, and that's where I was saying I don't think we should limit what we're doing with housing because the parking rides are full. You know, I mean, it sounds like it's not the neighbors so much that are filling up the streets. It's the people coming from someplace else and parking.
I know. I get it. But it's reality.
Yeah.
And so you shouldn't ignore it.
But maybe there may be other ways of getting around that, and that's more of a metro issue than that.
So from a point of order question, if we're talking about low density zones, and we just discussed by vote of 3-1 with the four of us here of not wanting duplexes and triplexes, none of this would really fit in Kirkland. Except the cottage project that's specifically designed as a cottage project.
You mean in Houghton?
In Houghton jurisdiction.
Yeah, Houghton.
Houghton jurisdiction.
Although I feel some, I don't want to just ignore the rest of Kirkland if we think it's really a bad, if something is fundamentally a problem, I don't want to just say, well, as long as it's not our problem, then we shouldn't at least make a recommendation. I would be concerned if I'm in another neighborhood and they do adopt the ability to have a sixplex in a single family zone, and the parking requirements for that sixplex are essentially, you know, two or three.
Well, it depends on the bedrooms. If it's small, the three primary plexes might be two bedrooms, and there's a bedroom count in parking, so that might be three stalls or 3.3 stalls or whatever, depending on the bedroom count. And if the ADU doesn't need, if the first ADU does not need a parking stall, you'd have three parking stalls for six units. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
I think market conditions might dictate, too. I mean, you know, more than likely, those types of units might be rented. And so, I mean, that's one of the things you look for, even when you're buying, too, is, okay, where am I going to park? And so I think market pressure would also help eliminate that type of issue as well.
Maybe some people wouldn't rent or buy there because there's no parking.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, it would take care of itself.
All right, well, maybe as a minimum, at least we tighten it up to a quarter mile of transit instead of a half mile, just in recognition that this is already going to put a significant burden. So at least you're making it, it's probably still going to not have a big if. This isn't going to increase the parking requirements very significantly. A quarter mile is probably not going to matter a heck of a lot, but at least it's a little more.
Sure. I
can go along with that because I had worries about people with mobility problems having to walk a half a mile to the bus.
So. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so that would be my suggestion. Yeah, John?
So, a question for staff, I guess. Overall, this piece of code talks about cottage and duplexes, triplexes, and we discussed we don't really want the duplexes and triplexes.
Correct.
But that doesn't preclude the cottage project. Is there any way to make a recommendation that everything that we've said, we just don't want the duplex and triplex in our jurisdiction? Can we like single line veto that? And if not, would this, the real question of the Planning Commission, would this rise to a veto vote?
Oh, if we had to allow, if it's either or, I think that if it came to that, I'm pretty sure that we would agree to just continue the current exclusion for duplexes and triplexes in Houghton. It's what we currently have. The change is they're trying to change what we have.
But if the Planning Commission says, okay, we don't agree with Houghton, we're going to send it to the City Council allowing duplexes and triplexes.
Then that's where it comes to a veto.
Yeah.
But then we would veto all of the cottage housing and all the other stuff.
No, it would be line item.
No, we don't have a choice. It's either you approve or disapprove.
And so that's the stuck we're in.
But historically, I don't think it'll come to that. We all want to try to improve the housing, and we're not going to get. That's just too big of an issue to say, it's either.
Right, and we're on the record. The reason we're doing it in the first place before they're doing their hearing is so they have our input.
Right.
And so that would be kind of silly to.
Would there be any way that the Planning Commission could recommend everything except the duplex and triplex to the City Council, and then it could become a test case?
Why would they do that? I mean,
John, look, you're getting it's late at night, and you're getting too darn speculative. Okay, I think we've agreed on what we're going to do, and let's not worry about what the Planning Commission or the City Council does. We've told them we're going to veto it if they force us to accept two duplexes and triplexes in Houghton. That's what we're saying.
Okay. Yeah, okay. And that's not really being proposed, so.
Yeah.
It's not even being proposed. I just thought we should talk about it.
Yeah.
It's not a change.
We're giving our input for them. And
oh, it is.
Yeah, it is being proposed. It is being proposed. Okay. But we're saying, no, we don't accept that proposal.
It is absolutely being proposed.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry, it wasn't in red. So.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on, you guys. We still got ADUs, and it's late. We got to move.
I have a question about our timeline.
What do you got? Want to set a deadline?
Well, do you want to stay and plow through ADUs tonight? Is there any way this can get attached to Monday's meeting, which is essentially nothing on the agenda?
That's a pretty reasonable proposal. Jeremy, what do you think?
You have plenty of time on Monday night to talk about this if you want to continue it.
Yeah.
If you're running out of steam here and you have you might get a sense from each other about how much time you anticipate spending on the remainder of it.
Well, if it took that much time on the missing middle, and I think that has a lot less hair than the ADUs, I can see us talking more on ADUs than we do on that. So, you know, we've already, you know.
I
think it'll be at least an hour to 2 hours on this, is be my expectation. You guys disagree?
All of my comments were about ADUs. It wasn't really the missing part.
You got a ways to go.
Yeah, I think. I don't see us quickly going through ADUs. We're not going to get done with it tonight. I think that's a great suggestion, John.
And if the audience is like, we waited until now.
To be continued. Well, our meeting's at 7, and we have a relatively, you know, easy agenda other than this, so, yeah.
I would suggest a specific motion to continue it till that time and date.
I think that's an excellent idea. Would somebody care to make that motion?
Still moved.
Okay. Is there a second?
I second.
It's been moved and seconded to continue our deliberation on our recommendations to the Planning Commission on the missing middle and ADU amendments to the zoning code to Monday night's meeting this next week. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Very well. Tonight's meeting is adjourned. See you Monday.
Get up at 5 every day.